Today on Movie World Us, we talk about the new Pixar movie, Inside Out. It's time for Movie World Us. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And yes, D as well.
Movie World Us is a weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings all.
Hello.
Hello.
We are gathered here again today, back
in
from
our
LA
normal,
Film Festival.
Normal place of recording.
Yes, back in the lab.
Back in the lab.
Which we still haven't Instagrammed.
No, because we have to make sure. It's not very tidy at the minute. It's still a work in progress.
Look, we just admit it. We're useless.
Yeah, that true.
No.
That too.
It's lovely.
I was going to say, that true.
No,
that
it's
too.
Lovely.
But there is a reason we've been distracted.
Yes.
We have a new addition in our house.
Yes.
The new movie while us cat.
Yes, just met.
Yeah, she's adorable.
We have a...
She's so little, isn't she?
A 10-week-old kitten.
She's about 11 weeks.
11-week-old kitten, Ellie.
She can stand in your hand, in the palm of your hand.
She does.
Literally.
Yeah.
Pint size. She's worth Instagramming.
She's worth... Yeah, we'll Instagram Ellie.
You should
Ellie.
Have an account. Yeah. For her.
But yeah, that's definitely kept us a little distracted as of late.
Yes.
Because we have to integrate two cats together.
Yes.
Which anyone who's listening who knows cats knows how much fun that can be.
Yes.
But it's going well so far. Says Rashmi with a sigh of resignation.
Yes.
So how long will it take before the two cats are fully acclimatized to each other?
So I've been reading a lot about this. They say about 2 to 4 weeks, and we're about halfway in. We're at the point where they can see each other without World War III erupting.
But that is through a barrier.
Through a barrier,
yeah.
But it's pretty good.
But interestingly enough, as you can tell, Yazdi, the other cat is sitting outside the door where Ellie is inside. So this is rather interesting.
They kind of want to meet.
Yeah.
But anyway, it'll be fun watching Ellie grow up and
see what her emotions are like.
I was going to say that was my pathetic attempt at a segue there to talk about the movie Inside Out, which very much has growing up themes as part of its texture. So Yazdi, do you want to give us the lowdown on Inside Out?
Yes, so Inside Out is the latest animated film from Pixar. And Pete Docter, who wrote Toy Story, Toy Story 2, Monsters, Inc., Wall-E, and Up, and directed Monsters, Inc. and Up, takes on this latest original property from the House of Pixar. And by original property, I mean a movie not based on a sequel from one of their earlier films. Pete Docter, obviously, is one of the major players, having had his hand in so many of the most beloved Pixar classics. So in terms of the story, the emotions of an 11-year-old girl, Riley, are given actual physical forms of joy, fear, anger, disgust, and sadness in this movie. And the film watches how this girl's ordinary life is rendered extraordinary when we are given a view inside out into her mind. It would be a crime to say anything more. All I will say is that this movie includes the voice talents of Amy Poehler, Phyllis Smith, Richard Kind, Bill Hader, Lewis Black, and Mindy Kaling, as well as Diane Lane and Kyle MacLachlan, who play the parents of little Riley. So this movie didn't come with a lot of fanfare. It just almost showed up at our doorstep.
Yeah, and then there were a ton of adverts using the IP in a way. So that was a bit strange. It felt like in the last month, every time I switched on the TV, yeah, a lot of like, you know, Geico with the characters.
I don't recall seeing any trailers, and maybe it's the kind of movies that we see. We don't really get to see trailers for children's films, but there was no build up. There was no, you know, almost every year we've had the here comes the new Pixar. And maybe because the last couple of movies that they've made have been, you know, not quite as well received. Maybe we're a little less excited about hearing about a new Pixar film. Maybe it wasn't on my radar. But yeah, to Yazdi's point, I think, yeah, it kind of just popped up. I probably hadn't heard anything about this movie other than the title until about 2 weeks before we saw it. And you know, that's kind of unusual for a studio with such a high profile. So
okay, so I think this is a really cute movie that explains personality really well. I just didn't make a connection with it and fall in love with it. And I didn't understand that the premise it's actually built upon. And I'll talk more about that once we get into the review.
Joe?
I'm just going to say right off the bat, I mean, I thought this was wonderful. This was a very... I connected really, really well with this movie. I think it's a surprise to me that this movie is aimed at children. Again, just like some of my favorite Pixar movies, the best moments in this movie, I don't think have any real entertainment value for kids, but I think therein lies a lot of the genius that Pixar has, which is they don't see the same movie as me. And I was talking to somebody about Up the other day, Anders Wright, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he's seen Up a million times because his daughter loves Up. But she sees a completely different movie to the one that we all see. And I can only think that that is the case here, because this feels too emotionally sophisticated for kids. But I think they're just seeing some colorful characters bounce around the screen having fun. So, I thought it was great. I find it really hard as an adult to say that there was anything there for your kids and that you should rush out and take them to this as opposed to something like, Tangled or Frozen or something like that. So what did you think, Yazdi?
Yeah, I mean, I'd seen the previews originally for the movie, and I have to admit it looked really stupid. And it sounded so glib and so silly that, you could actually have characters which are called happy and sad and anger. And it just seemed a really lower tier work for Pixar to embrace. Mm-hmm. And I think as one of the reviewers, I've read a lot of reviews of this movie since I saw it on a couple of days ago. I think as somebody mentioned, I shouldn't have worried, because it was wonderful. I mean, it was futile for me to resist. I think the movie does one of the things which is hardest to do, which is it actually made me think about the neurology of my own brain. It made me think.
Yeah.
I mean, I think.
Now, I work in brain science. I've got a lot to say about that.
I think I used to be very different as a child. I think most people were, than what they are as adults. And I think this movie offers one of the easiest, most crystalline explanation for why we fundamentally change when we abandon what makes us as a child and become what we are as an adult. So I think it's amazing that the movie is nothing less than about the process of growing up. And it's one of the best movies I've seen about growing up. So I just love this movie. And I think Disney kind of pulled a rabbit out of their hat with this one. I mean, you cannot overestimate the difficulty of this material.
So I don't disagree with what you guys are saying. I think the main issue I had with the movie was that I actually found it a little bit boring at times. I mean, the premise of the movie is built, and I don't want to give anything away. Mm-hmm. The premise of the story is that one of the emotions is actually one of the emotions that gets itself in trouble, and then a whole list of things start happening. But it doesn't make sense as a whole, because that emotion is that emotion. But as a result of it being around, things go wrong. But that doesn't make sense, right? Because you always have that emotion around. So that's kind of what really threw me a little bit. And I found...
But it's the way that that emotion starts. It's the way that... It's almost, for me at least, I took it to be the way that that particular emotion starts to affect the way that you feel and the way that you interpret life and memories. It's part of growing up.
Right. I mean, so I had trouble with that. I mean, I think you can probably look at it a couple of different ways. But I agree, there's some really great concepts that are clever, but overall I just found it a bit lazy, and the animation wasn't as spectacular as some of their previous movies. So overall it just didn't have an impact on me, and then the end just happened so abruptly. I couldn't believe that was the end. It happened so suddenly. So it just didn't feel like a whole movie to me.
Interesting.
I found some parts very nice, and I loved some of the components. And it was clever, and I did understand the brain part of it, especially because you talk about it all the time, Joe. But I just felt like it was lacking. It was lacking, and it felt lazy to me.
It's interesting. I mean, I agree with Yazdi that this stuff is actually very hard to do. I mean, there's a level of sophistication here to, which emotions do you select when you're going to talk about this stuff? I mean,
especially with an 11-year-old, I guess.
And... For me, more than anything, I think the movie was about growing up. It's about becoming an adult, becoming something other than a child. And this movie touched that I mean, you can't really talk about this movie without alluding to it has a devastating emotional wallop that hits you right, you know, in that towards the end of the movie. And it was effective for me as it was in Up. I mean, there were no tears for me personally, but just the raw emotion of that moment is something that you had to build up to. So I agree with you, Rashmi, in that I was enjoying it all the way through, but I didn't really think of it as a special until we got towards the end. And at that point, it all kind of came together, and I just was like, wow, this is... I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, and then when I compare it to something like Mr. Peabody and Sherman from last year, I mean, this doesn't even hold a candle to that. And I know, Yazdi, I think you loved Mr. Peabody as much as I did.
Yeah, I love Mr. Peabody and Sherman, but I would almost hold this movie up to the same level.
Really?
Yeah, I will grant you that maybe from an animation perspective, it doesn't break any new ground. In fact, a lot of it actually... is rather trippy, and I completely agree with you, Joe, that it's some marvel of marketing or PR or just blind faith that almost as many people went to see this movie as the other one about dinosaurs, you know, this weekend. I mean, it's the largest earning Pixar movie to date, which is not a sequel. So I think Toy Story 3 was the movie which made the most money, but of all of Pixar's original properties, this one has made the most money, and this is a difficult sell. I agree with you. This is actually a very dark movie, which is masquerading as a film, as a kids movie. Yes, I think it's a pretty dark movie, which is actually masquerading as a kids movie. So, and when I saw it, I watched it on Friday night, and it was full of kids, and with the length of, it's not a long movie, but it's an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was scared that, you know, kids would be distracted or bored or whatever, but maybe that's a testament to how well balanced this movie is, that it keeps the shiny objects shining enough that the kids are not distracted.
I was going to say, can we talk about that? Because there weren't a lot of kids in the screening that I was at. There were a couple of kids in front of us who I sensed were getting just perhaps a little, you know, fidgety. During the movie, how are the kids in the audience with the screening that you saw?
So my screening was predominantly kids and their caretakers who had come with them, and you know, the ones who had dragged themselves along, and I, you know, usually kids run out or parents have to leave, and there were some pretty small, you know, like little kids, like, you know, 2-year-olds, and they were all pretty enthralled through most of it.
Okay.
I think for me, why this movie resonates so much is because I'm not an 11-year-old girl growing up in the United States.
You're not?
I'm not. You know, I was 11-year-old.
You heard it first here.
You heard it. I
movie wall is exclusive.
Yes.
Yes. Caitlyn Jenner, take that. But
Yasmin. But
stop it. I was an 11-year-old boy growing up in India, and yet... there was so much that I could identify with, because I used to be a very goofy, silly kid, and I'm not that goofy and silly now.
No.
I'm a very serious, dour, you know, kind of boring...
Sourpuss
kind of person. And I can see how those parts of my childhood, they were little islands which got dropped behind, and the movie gave a concept to that so well. And the other piece is, haven't you ever felt... unnecessarily angry at something, or felt unnecessarily depressed, like you have no reason to be, but you just are. And suddenly this movie offers me the mechanics for understanding why that might be, that there are these little things in my head, and sometimes one of them just takes over it. And from a chemistry perspective, even you can understand that some chemicals just take over. So to be able to explain how we as humans feel through something as simple as and pedantic as little shiny cartoon characters jumping around for an hour and a half, mm-hmm. is no small achievement.
No, it is. It's very clever. It is clever.
And the concept of memory, I mean, I love the way that they're formed and that they're moved into long-term storage. I mean, you know, my day job involves, you know, memory research, and you know, it doesn't quite work that way, but in terms of an analogy, something that we can understand, it provides a nice, elegant explanation for how these things might work and how they might get lost over time, and how, you know, they can be tainted with positive or negative emotions depending on your frame of mind at the point
yeah.
at which the memory was consolidated, which happens during sleep. And so, you know, I was interested in it from that pure science perspective.
It was smart.
And it was very elegantly done for, you know, what I presume was, you know, non-behaviorists making this movie.
Yeah, I did like the dream explanations, because remember, I always have the crazy dreams, so that bit did make me laugh a lot.
And I love the concept of losing some memories forever, never to come back. And I think we are all an accumulation of all the memories we have versus all the ones we've lost. And not to get too deep about this stuff, but its whole explanation about this imaginary friend. I mean, I think every review has mentioned, you know, on paper, that shouldn't work at all. Try selling that to somebody, you know, about this candy cane made imaginary creature who somehow lands up becoming the heart of the movie. So, you know, if somebody came to me and brought the script, either as a studio executive or as somebody who is in charge of picking story ideas, you know, I would put this movie right there with trying to make an animated movie about the meaning of life. It's that difficult a concept. And to somehow come out on the other side without coming off silly or, you know, talking down to the concepts. I think it's remarkable. So I loved it for its concepts.
Okay. Anything else?
Don't bother with the 3D. I saw it in 3D in the screening. I don't think it particularly had anything to give there. I was very intrigued by the fact that they've, and this is, I'll be all cinema geek on you here, but it has been filmed and output rather in Dolby Vision. So there's only a couple of theaters across the country which can do that right now, but it's an expanded color range, and apparently it's an experience worth watching. I think this and Tomorrowland are the only movies out right now. So if you have a Dolby theater, I would definitely go there to experience that. Simply just if you're in the LA area or in New York, go check that out, because it's something I want to look at.
All this stuff like Dolby range or IMAX or 3D, I mean, there's just so many different options now to watch the same movie. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, it's off topic, but I like the idea of things giving us an experience that we can't have at home, because ultimately I'm a fan of the movie theater. I like being in that environment. And I think if you listen to this podcast, so do you. So I like the idea that, you know, as we've improved our technology and our experience of viewing at home, you know, you can have surround sound available to you. You can have high def. But I love the fact that there's still somebody pushing out there the experience of going to the movie theater and giving us something unique that is not necessarily going to be gimmicky, that adds to the story. And that was how they used this expanded color range. Everything that was inside the brain had like this new
primary,
very bright,
much
bolder look to it than everything outside of the world. Yeah, and so I like the idea of using those kind of things to enhance a story. In the same way that Nolan uses IMAX, for example, to frame certain shots at certain times, it's a part of the storytelling that you can't get anywhere outside of the movie theater.
Okay, what emotion do you think that was of Joe's talking there?
Excitement!
Yeah, exactly. Okay, put that away now.
What
okay.
was your score?
Yes.
I didn't give you my sum up. So, this was wonderfully imaginative. I think, you know, I enjoyed just the cognitive aspects of it. But more than anything, as this movie kind of reached its peak, it really stirred something within me about a very specific moment of growing up, you know, that change that happens between childhood and adulthood. And it was done perfectly. I mean, it was pitched so beautifully that I still struggling to understand why it made me feel the way I did, but it did. So I'm going to give this an 8 out of 10. I'm not more excited about it than that. You know, I think it's really received amazing press, everywhere unanimously, but for me, it's a solid 8 out of 10. And, clearly, there's something here for the kids. I just don't see it.
Yes, D.
So I have a special fondness for movies that I think I would hate, but then come out and wow me completely. And this movie, like I went in. The only reason I went in for the movie, I had no desire to see it, is because it's gotten such great press. And, you know, it came out of Cannes, like, you know, everybody raving about it. And, you know, especially because in the last couple of years, it seems like Pixar has had lost its way. And I was the one who was beating the drums that, you know, their golden days are behind them, especially with Cars 2 and Monsters University and some of those movies. They were not bad, but they were subpar. And I think this is a return to form. I think Disney should really stick with the difficult, challenging, unique material that doesn't normally lend itself to an animated movie and go after that. I mean, this really, I think, belongs up there with Wall-E and Up and all The Incredibles and all those great Pixar movies. It's miraculous to me that a movie like this got made at all. I mean, I think most studios would run away from, they would think that kids won't like this at all. But ultimately, I think the reason why I like this movie so much is based on what A.O. Scott said. He's written a very glowing review for the movie in the New York Times, but there's one little sentence in there which completely resonated for me. And it's towards the middle of his review, and he says that you will look at the screen and know yourself. And that's what the whole movie was for me. I saw this movie, wow, and it somehow gave me a greater understanding of how I react to the world and how I grew up and where I am and so forth. So, and that final message really is something to behold. I almost want to give it a 9 out of 10, but I'll give it an 8.5 and back down to 8. And I also want to give special props to Pixar for how they did the trailer for this movie, which does not give anything away. And so kudos to them. I wish more studios would have the guts to do that.
Except that it's a little off-putting.
Yeah,
because it makes the movie look a little silly, more zany, playful, and right, and madcap. It looks a little more throwaway in the trailer than it actually is. But the box office receipts obviously don't reflect that. So
I'll finish as I started. I think this is a really cute movie that explains personality really well. I just didn't make a connection with it and fall in love with it. But having listened to both your reviews, you know what? It's actually made me want to add on one more unit of score. So I was going to give this a 6 out of 10, but I'm actually going to give it a 7 because you did make me remember how cute it was and how smart it was. So 7 out of 10.
Yeah, it's a beautiful movie, and the execution is just so simple. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing. It never tries to get gobbledygook complicated. It's just, you know, it's a very, very playful take on who we are and our minds, and I like that. Good. All right, well, we're just doing one movie in this particular podcast, so I think that was a unanimous score of thumbs up. So go see Inside Out, everyone. So let's wrap it up for today. Mail at movieworldlaws.com, twitter.com/moviewallers, instagram.com/moviewallers, which has nothing yet, but it will.
Picture of Ellie.
So, yes, do follow us on Instagram and check out our Facebook page and let us know what you thought of this movie. We always like to get your emails, so ping us whenever you can. Until our next episode, it's too many movies, too little time. A good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.